What I wanted to do tonight is share with you a little bit about what Times Square Church is about. Our prayer is obviously that our church would represent all these things and that God would be able to move in all the facets that he would want to move in the way he is. But there is a mandate on this church. There is a call on this church. There's a particular vision that God has given, was given to this church when at the very inception of the church. And I wanted to make you privy to that. I wanted you to know what that is so you'll know why we do what we do. Are you with me tonight? Praise God. So first of all, vision of Times Square Church. Originally with Pastor David, when he was first called to the city, God spoke certain things to him and subsequently to Pastor Carter, our lead pastor, our senior pastor. God spoke to them clearly, first of all, with Pastor David, that he was to come here and to find a remnant, to find a remnant. He was to spread a table, for those who are hungry, those who are spiritually hungry, those who are spiritually famished. And as he would spread a table, people would come from all walks of life. People would come from all types of different countries and come and hear the word and would be nourished by the word. People would come from other churches even and be nourished and strengthened and encouraged and then go back to their churches, go back to their communities and make a difference, go to their school or campuses and make a difference. And so he was to spread a table and for those who are hungry and to find a remnant in this city. And not to say that there aren't remnants of believers in other places, but God had called him to find a particular remnant. And that's why you and I are here, praise the living God, as a result of one man's vision and obedience to the living God. Secondly, he was to remember the poor by giving to the hungry, the destitute, and the addicted. And that's what we do as a church. You see that constantly as we endeavor to help the needy, the poor, and to clothe those who are naked. Like Jesus said, when you've done any of these things unto these, my brethren, the least of these, you've done them unto me. Okay, and so that's our vision, and that's why we do what we do in terms of reaching out to the poor, helping the poor, the needy. You've got the Raven truck, right, that goes around and feeds the poor and the needy. From time to time, we will go out and do the same whenever there's disasters in the city, like hurricane, like the last hurricane that we had, Hurricane Sandy. We immediately gathered, right? We gathered early and began to go and give out clothing and food and water and do everything we could to help those that were in need. And so that's another mandate on this church, to remember the poor, to remember the poor. Another one was to warn of coming judgment and the difficult days that were ahead. You don't have to even be a prophet to know this. All you have to do is read your Bible and you see the signs of the times. You see what's going on in the hour that we're living in and how things are progressing and how things are spiraling downward, right, morally in our society. And you see how good is now becoming evil and evil is now becoming good. But we were to warn of these things and to warn of the difficult days. But not only that, to encourage God's people, to let them know that he's got them. Amen. Hallelujah. That doesn't matter how dark the days get, but God has us, he's got us, and he's going to sustain us. We were to be ascending church, a church that would focus on missions. And the Lord has done just that, that we were to have missions trips and reach out to not just our community here, but abroad and around the world, that we were to serve the needs of the many and to reach out. And so as a church, that's why we have missions trips. That's why we go on missions trips as youth ministry and young adult ministry. We've got this year a junior high going to Texas to serve, to work among the poor young people there. And we have also our high schoolers that are going to serve in Mexico and to serve on the border of Texas and Mexico there. We have our young adults, CCG and Yammers, that are preparing to go to France in June to serve there and to minister there. So there are all types of trips, missions trips, that are available for us to get involved in. So this is why we're doing these things, because this is what God has called us to do as a church, right? He said to go into all the world, the Great Commission, right, and to preach the gospel. Another mandate on this church is to celebrate communion every week. And so that's why we do that. We celebrate communion every Tuesday night and also on the first Sunday of every month. And the last one was to remember Israel, to pray for Israel, to stand with Israel as a nation, And we have missionaries, Karen and David Davis, who left this church at the very beginning of the church, in the early stages of the church, and went and established a church and a work right on the top of Mount Carmel, praise the living God, where Elijah called fire down from heaven. There's a ministry there, and it's an incredible ministry, a church that God has birthed there. And that church and congregation is made up of Arabs and Jews. Hallelujah. Come on, you can give God praise. Arabs and Jews coming together under the banner of Christ, one new man. Only God could do that, folks. I said only God could do that. Praise the living God. Praise God. And so that's the mandate on our church. Now, some of you have asked me in times past, how did you become the youth pastor? I don't know. No. But here I am. No, I'm just kidding. You know, this wasn't something I necessarily signed up for. I've got to tell you that much. I basically got saved at the age of 19. I had a burden for my peers. I was in college here in the city studying IT, studying computer science, and was just reaching out to my peers, And the Lord raised up this church. And when God raised up this church, he put it on the heart of Pastor David Wilkerson's youngest son, Greg Wilkerson, to start a prayer meeting for college students. And I joined that prayer meeting. And my wife was there at the time, and we weren't married yet. We were just two college students, joined the prayer meeting and began to pray for our college campus. And as we began to pray for our college campus, God began to move and save. And people started to come to Christ. And he began to touch different campuses. And out of that was birthed the young adult ministry, the singles ministry, the young adults ministry in this church. And so I began to serve there under the previous youth pastors, Greg Wilkerson, Roosevelt Hunter, Mike Lindquist, under all these youth pastors that were here. I began to serve under them, these established authorities, and began to learn as I served under them and glean, and it was an amazing experience, and I thank God for that. As I look back, I began to just serve, and I didn't, you know, there were needs there. In the ministry, the ministry was still small, but it was growing, and there were needs. But I didn't complain. You know, sometimes you see things, and you can complain. You know, there are folks in the church that all they do is complain. You know, do you know that? There are folks that all they see is the negative. All they see is the glass half empty. You know people like that? Some of you are like, Yeah, you know, and but I didn't do that. I chose not to complain. I instead chose to be part of the solution. So if there was a need, I began to pray and say, God, help us to fulfill that need. And if there's anything I can do, let me help, you know. And so I began to do that. And I just began to serve. If they needed to set up chairs, I was there early to set up chairs. If they wanted us to break down tables, I was there early to break down tables. If they needed us to load equipment, I wanted to be part of that. I just wanted to serve and be a blessing. And so I became part of the solution, and I served wherever there was a need. You and I need to learn to do that, and we are learning to do that. I trust, and don't ever say, I will only do this, and I won't do that. Don't do that. Don't ever say that. You know, some people are like, well, I'm called of God. I'm called to preach to the masses. You know? And I will only do that. So if you put a mic in my hand, I'll preach. But if you ask me to set up a chair or to, you know, to hold the door open, nah, Pastor, that's not my calling. Don't do that. That's not the way to serve. Praise God. Are you with me tonight? Don't say no to God. Don't do that, because if you're faithful in the little things, right? If the scripture says, how can you be trusted with your own things if you can't be trusted with another man's things, right? If you can't serve under another man, how's God going to trust you with your own stuff? Say amen or say ouch. Amen. Real talk. Be faithful and committed. Wherever God places you, wherever he plants you. I didn't fill out a resume. I didn't say I wanted to be youth pastor, as I said earlier. I just wanted to serve. I just said, God, take my life. Do whatever you want with it. He said, okay. He said, all right. And so one day, after the last youth pastor left, there was a group of us, young adults, that were still here. And by that time, the high school ministry and the young adult ministry were under the same youth leader for the first time, youth pastor. And so there was a group of us young adults that were still around, and that was many moons ago. And Pastor, I remember at the time, Pastor David's brother, Don Wilkerson, was on staff, and he approached me and he said, "Hey, listen, we need leadership over this ministry, and so what we'd like to do is put a group of young adults to lead the ministry, just to be like a core group over the ministry." And I was chosen as part of that core group, and my wife was chosen, and a couple of other young adults were chosen as part of that core group. And then eventually, one of the young adults was asked to lead the group, and it was somebody I never expected to be asked. Moi. Because I saw everybody else qualified. Everybody else looked like qualified. I'm like, surely that's God's anointed right there. You know, when Samuel came into Jesse's house and he looks at Eliab, he looks at all of David's older brothers, and he's like, that's God's anointed right there. That was me. I was like looking at everybody else thinking, oh, man, this person is qualified, or this person is qualified. Man, this person has an amazing prayer life, or this person, man, they can speak. This person could preach, you know, put that person in charge. And then all of a sudden, I'm asked to be in charge, and I'm thinking to myself, what? You know, but it was God. It was God. And so I said, okay, if this is what God wants, I'm going to serve. I'm just going to serve as long as I can, as long as God would have me to. And so that's what I began to do. And I've got to tell you, it has been such a blessing. I absolutely love young people. I just absolutely love young people, which means what? I love you. Hallelujah. I love you. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. You know, I just absolutely love you. I love God, and I love you. I love young people. And that's why I can sit with you and chat and talk, and people say, man, how come you come and you hang with us, and you go out and eat with us? It's because I love you. And it's because you are, like as Pastor William would say, you are a family. We are a family in Christ, in the body of Christ. And so that's why I'll hang with you. I'll go out to eat with you, you know, because that's who we are. And my wife is the same, you know. And so if you ever want to hang, just come see me. Praise God. I love to see God raise up young people to become all that he's called them to be and destined them to be. I just love it. I love to watch God raise up worship leaders and musicians and preachers. I love to watch God raise up young people who will serve in their vocation, wherever God has them. And, you know, and I've never bought the fact that, you know, ministry is, this is ministry here. I've never bought that. I believe we're all called to full-time ministry. To minister to him, amen, to minister to the Lord, and to minister to one another. That's what I believe. And wherever you are, that's your ministry. Hello? Wherever God places you, that's your ministry. That's your ministry. That's where God has put the family he's put you in. And some of you are like, oh, no. But Pastor, I'm trying to get away from them. The moment I'm 18, I'm out. Your family, your school, your workplace, your community, your office, wherever God places you, hallelujah, that's your ministry. That's your place to minister, to stand and make a difference for Christ. For me, it is truly a privilege to see God just raising up. If he tarries, the next generation of Christians, that's the way I see you. Generation of Christians, the next generation of leaders, Christians, ambassadors for Christ. Praise the living God. Would you bless him tonight? Would you thank God tonight? Why does SYP exist? SYP, that's the name of our ministry, Strictly Young People. SYP, Strictly Young People. Okay. Why does SYP exist? Well, some time ago, the senior pastor approached me. Pastor Carter approached me, and he had a vision. He envisioned something for the young people. And his vision was that there would be a youth church raised up in this place. He told me that I would have a youth church on my hands, a youth church on my hands. And a church being, of course, a body of believers, a congregation of young people that would gather together, that would worship God, that would encourage, nurture, strengthen, and care for one another, and that would reach the loss, in this generation to fulfill the Great Commission, that God would raise up disciples, young disciples, for his glory. And that's exactly what God did. That's exactly what the Lord did. That's what you are. That's what I am. We're a part of this youth church that Pastor Carter envisioned some time ago, long time, many years ago. And God brought that to fulfillment. And I thank God for that. That's why we have The Gate, our young people meeting on Friday night. We've got this choir and this band, youth band. We've got ushers and hospitality, social media and web team. And by the way, you can be a part of each of these areas of ministry here under SYP. Drama ministry, book table ministry, connect groups, our small groups on Sunday, which is kind of like our cell groups or Sunday school on Sundays, our outreaches, our missions trips, our retreats, etc., etc., etc. Thank God he's raised up this place. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me? Give the Lord a hand clap offering tonight. Thank God. I thank God for that. So that's just to give you a little vision of what Times Square Church is about and why we're here and why we do what we do, just to give you a sense. Now, what's my heart's desire? Well, Ephesians chapter 4. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And he begins to speak to them about the various duties as ministers, as part of the body of Christ, their duty. He speaks to them about doctrine, and he's talking to them about their duty, their responsibilities as believers. And one of the things he begins to do is he begins to talk about what's called the fivefold ministry, the fivefold ministry. And he does that starting in verse 11. He says, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." He says, "Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth." He says, "Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing, praise God, and full of love." Praise the living God. As I was just praying what to share with you tonight, because so many of you have asked, what would I like to see happen? This is my vision. This is what I would love to see happen. This is what I feel God has placed on my heart to share with you tonight. These particular verses here in this passage of Scripture. Verse 11, "Now these are the gifts God gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers." Pastors, well, I'm the youth pastor here. And so what is a pastor supposed to do? What is my role here? Well, a pastor is a shepherd. And this is very important that you understand this. It's very important that you understand this. Because if I speak to you in a certain way, there's a reason why I speak to you that way. Here it is. This word relates to taking care of sheep. It's a shepherd. It figuratively refers to someone who is in a leadership position, such as over a community or nation, a shepherd who has authority, provides protection, cares for the flock, has authority, provides protection, cares for the flock. Okay? So what am I supposed to do? I have authority, provide protection, care for the flock. One more time. Have authority, exercise authority, provide care for the flock. Okay, this is the mandate of God on me as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 12, their responsibility. My responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. This word work translated ministry service. Ministry service. This noun means the act of giving help and assistance to others. So the work that you're being equipped for is to help and assist others. That's what ministry is. Like Pastor Teresa would say at Summit, ministry is living for the benefit of others. Living for the benefit of others, okay? So this now means the act of giving help and assistance to others often involves not so noble or lowly tasks. So which means at times you'll be asked to do things by God that aren't noble things or upfront things. Things that where you're in the background. Some of you are like, man, I love the background. I don't want to be in the front. Keep that mic away from me, Pastor. And folks, that's the way I was. I didn't want to be in the front either, but look what God has done, you know? But this is what the Lord does. He'll ask us to do things quietly. This is what we were talking about earlier, being faithful in little things. He'll try and trust you with little things. And then if he's able to entrust you with little things, he makes you ruler over much. He gives you more responsibilities, in essence. That's what God does. It refers to service to others and to God. So my responsibility, my vision is to equip you to do his work, God's work, which is to help and assist others, to minister and serve others. So we're here to train you to minister and to serve. Are you with me? We're here to train you to minister and to serve, to become all that God has destined you to be for his glory, so that he will use you wherever he sends you. And build up the church, the body of Christ, for building up the church in the knowledge of truth and in devotion in your faith. Romans 14, 19 says, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. It means to do anything by teaching, counsel, advice, which will aid Christians to enable them to surmount, overcome the difficulties of life, to prepare you to face the difficulties of life, to help you to overcome the difficulties of life, to grow in your understanding, to make you stronger. That's why we're here. To make you stronger. So what do I envision? I envision you becoming stronger and stronger and stronger in your walk with God, in your understanding of who he is and who you are in him. The idea here is of a building that is erected on a firm and tried foundation on the cornerstone. Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you with me tonight? To do all that is possible so that you will be ready to stand in the place that God has called you to stand, that appropriate place in the body of Christ, whether it's as a musician, as a choir member, behind the scenes, putting songs on the screen in projection. That's a ministry, serving as an usher, serving in security, serving in the children's ministry, in the mini gate tonight, right? Did you know there was a mini gate? Isn't that cute? There is the gate, and there's a mini gate going on right now in the children's ministry. Do you know a lot of those children can't wait to be here in the big gate? A lot of them are like, man, I can't wait to be. Sometimes they come in the back. And they'll stand in the back and they watch us worship. They watch us worship at the end of the meeting and enjoy and long to be here among us. To prepare you to stand in that place where God would have you to stand and to be all that he's called you to be. Verse 13, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of the Son of God. The meaning of this is simply that until we all hold the same truths and have the same confidence in the Son of God, until you and I hold to the same truths and have the same confidence in God, until you can say, like the pastors, God just spoke to me. He gave me a word. He gave me a word. Oh my goodness. So it's not just the pastors up here hearing from God, but you're hearing from God. That you're able to hear from the God who loves you. He said, my sheep know my voice. So that you're able to hear from God for yourself. That you'll recognize his voice. And it's all that you will be mature in the Lord. Mature in the Lord. Now notice the contrast that he paints here. Verse 13, he talks about maturity. In verse 14, he talks about immaturity. So there's a maturity and there's an immaturity. He says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of the Son of God, until we all hold to the same truths and confidence in the Son of God, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. The standard is Christ. He was the standard in terms of moral character, and God is endeavoring to help you and I to get to a place where we grow to become more and more like him. More and more like Jesus. It's that simple. Verse 14, then we will no longer be immature like children. And what happens to children that are immature? He tells us right here. He says, we won't be tossed and blown about with every wind and new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Do you know there will be times, even in the body of Christ, where people will come and try and trick you? People at times can be used of the enemy. There is the wheat and the tares, right? So sometimes people can even be used by the enemy to try to seduce you, to try to lure you away. I think of recently I was made aware of some young people that were being called by some other young people who chose to go to what they claim is a prophetic ministry. And they decided, well, it's not enough for us to go to this prophetic ministry. We wanna empty out the gate and take all the young people from here to that ministry. So what they began to do is they started calling young people in this youth ministry to try and suck them out and lure them out. And the way they do it is they say, hey, how you doing? You all right? What's going on? Nothing? Okay. Hey, have you noticed? Pastor Patrick doesn't worship the way he used to worship. Or he doesn't preach the way he used to preach. Or he doesn't. And the first thing they do is they try to plant a seed in your mind in order to overthrow, to stage a coup, to overthrow a government. You have to sow what's called, a disgruntledness. You've got to call into question what the current government is doing so that you can overthrow that government. That's how you overthrow leadership. And so what they do is they come and they'll say, well, have you noticed this about Pastor Carter or that about Pastor Carter? Or have you noticed this about Lisa, a young adult leader or Elder Vicky? Or have you noticed she doesn't worship the way she used to worship? And what they do is they try to poison you. They'll sow something into you. And folks will do that. Be very careful what you give ear to. Be very careful what you take in. Folks, there's nothing new under the sun. I said there's nothing new under the sun. The devil is still the same devil. And if he can use people, he will use people, even sometimes in the church, unfortunately, when people start to make poor choices and wrong decisions. So that we won't be tossed about, that we'll no longer be immature, tossed and blown about by every wind and new teaching, and influenced by people who try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Sound like the truth. Now, in some respects, you and I are to be like children, right? We're to be like children in some respects. The scriptures tell us that we're to be gentle, right? We're to be free of ambition, free of pride, free of haughtiness, right? We're to be docile in some respects as children. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 18, 2 to 3. But children have other characteristics besides simplicity and docility. Besides that, they are often changeable, they are gullible, and they are influenced easily by others and led astray. And so Paul exhorts the Ephesians to no longer be children, but urges them to put on the characteristics of manhood. He says, it's time for you to mature. It's time for you to learn how to stand, how to have firm convictions. Very important tonight. That you have firm convictions. That you have a firmness in your religious opinions. That you develop convictions. Do you understand? Hello. That you learn to distinguish between right and wrong. The word tossed here is taken from waves and billows that are constantly tossed about. The image is of instability in character and purpose. So that you and I are unstable, that people can't come and lie to us and move us and just like, you know, entrap us and trick us and lure us. You understand what I'm saying? So you're not gullible. So you're not a prey. It's God's design that you and I mature, that we develop firm convictions, that after hearing the truth and praying about it and meditating on it, that we develop our own religious opinions, our own convictions based on the truth of God's word. Convictions. So that somebody comes in and they tell you something and you're not moved necessarily by what they say. Or someone else comes and tells you something and you're moved by what they say. See, the picture here is of somebody who's at one time, they can be here. And somebody says something and they're moved by it. And then they start moving in that direction. And then the next day they're with somebody else, another crowd, and somebody else says something. And then they move by that and they're moving in this direction. There's no stability. No stability. But that's not God's design for you and I. Blown about with every wind of new teaching, he says, with no firmness, no settled course, no helm. The idea of a vessel that is on the restless ocean that is tossed about with every wind that has no settled line of direction of sailing. That when the wind blows, it's going this way. When the wind blows this way, it's going this way. And the Lord is like, no, 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 that's not my design for you. That's not what I intended for you. I want you to be firm. I want you to know in whom you've believed. I want you to settle this thing. I want you to have settled convictions, principles based on doctrine, true teaching, sound teaching. Are you with me tonight? I said, are you with me tonight? Let me read a scripture to you. This is 2 Timothy 3, 13 to 17. It says, but evil people and imposters will flourish. This is Paul writing to Timothy about the last days. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. And they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what's right. Verse 17, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To do every good work. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, closing with this. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Speaking the truth in love. Growing more and more like Christ, who is the head of the church, who is the standard by which you and I are to be molded and crafted and grown into. Growing up, that's what God has intended for you and I. And that's my desire for you. And that's the desire for all the youth leaders, my wife, all the youth leaders, junior high leaders, high school leaders, foundations leaders, teachers, CCG leaders, YAM leaders. It's all our desire, all the ministry leaders. It's all our desires that you grow up. That's what God is saying. That you're not immature, but that you become mature in the things of God. And as a result, you become more and more like Christ, stable with convictions, not easily moved, not a prey to people who come, and they will come. Make no mistake about it. You're going to be tested on what's been spoken today. You will be tested in life. But God has taught you, and you've received the word. Amen? So you're not going to be a prey to the enemy. Come on, give God praise tonight. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for your presence among us. I want to thank you for every single one of these young people. Every single one is important. Every single one matters to you and matters to us. I thank you, Lord, that I would not choose any other place to serve. I would not choose any other young people, youth group. I thank you for these young people. I thank you for each one. I wouldn't trade them for anybody or any other youth group. I thank you, Lord, because they are important, they are valuable, and they are greatly loved. And you have a call on each life, and you're fulfilling that call as they walk with you from day to day. I thank you that you will finish the work you become. Now take us into maturity. Help us to mature in you. Help us to be more like you, Jesus. Lord, we know the only way that's going to happen is if you take us there. And thank you that you will, because you will finish the good work you began in us. And Lord, we're just so grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.